Lisa, one of our themes today, I introduced the entire program by talking about struggle and what can be gained through struggle, even when we don't win victories. In our reading of Che Guevara's Socialism and Man in Cuba, are there insights for us about struggle?
Yeah, he certainly says a great deal. He's constantly deliberating over the question, hence the title of the piece, as a transformation that takes place in society. You know, the role that institutions play, how people relate to them, but then also the process of transformation within the individual. They are both intimately linked, hence the title. And kind of related to this, he touches on overcoming obstacles, right? The struggle with other people to meet goals. And that struggle can be, it could be many things. It could be deliberating how state enterprises will function, or the special period, or Bay of Pigs, or simply, you know, redesigning society to constantly deal with the crippling embargo that the U.S. continues to impose on Cuba. He says it's both an internal and an external process. You know, in the United States, comparatively, it's individualized, right? You just kind of have to, you have to deal with systematic issues as a, just as a person. So he says that it's internal and external process. It's ongoing, but he's also careful not to go into too many specifics about what self-actualization looks like. That's why socialist countries are sometimes referred to as states pursuing socialist projects. There's many layers to it.
Let me ask you a question that I've actually not posed to you before. If you were teaching this text, or if you were using Guevara's Socialism and Man in Cuba with people you're working with here and now, what questions does he enable us to raise? Or again, what insights specifically about struggle that people could take away from this text?
That there's different ways of looking at it. And you have to look at struggle in terms of successes and failures. You know, I think one of the points is to provide alternatives. So, for instance, you could look at one that's failed, the July 26th movement, even though it is part of the revolution, right? What is considered a defeat still contributed to the greater public in terms of providing hope in that regard, that this type of thing is, you know, may be possible. So, like, comparatively, a notable defeat in popular movements, you know, in the United States was the Albany campaign during the civil rights movement. And Howard Zinn kind of contends this, argues back against this framing as the Albany campaign is, you know, kind of a defeat. And he says so in A People's History of the United States. He says that it always seemed to me as a superficial assessment, a mistake often made in evaluating protest movements, that social movements may have many defeats, which is failing to achieve objectives in the short run, but in the course of the struggle, the strength of the old order begins to erode, minds of people begin to change. Protesters are momentarily defeated, but not crushed, because they've been lifted and they've been heartened by their ability to fight back.
Remind us what the Albany struggle was.
It was a campaign to sign people up to vote that was, you know, naturally saw repression, but it was the chief at the time, he responded to protesters in a very nonviolent way. So you didn't have kind of the same PR around it as you did with other campaigns.
Going back to something you said, Luisa, about the July 26th movement, Che has insights, doesn't he, about the role in struggle of kind of more advanced people. He calls them vanguards. What does he have to say about the kind of role that they can play in our movements? How is that a way of advancing other people's sense of capability, other people's sense of what's possible in the society?
Well, I know you had, you know, an alternative definition, or you have a different interpretation of what he means by vanguard. Could you kind of give that?
I think people right now, when they hear vanguard, tend to think of political parties, Leninist organizations, basically, small group of professional revolutionaries who then would basically be in a position of directing other people. Vanguard has a broader meaning, and I think this is what Che has in mind, although in the Cuban context, he tends to conflate the two. But what's useful for us is thinking of vanguard as simply people who are partway along the path toward being these new people that will flourish under socialism. So basically, people we call advanced workers, or the kind of people when we go into a workplace or we go into community organizing situation, the kind of people we turn to who both other people listen to, that is the influencers, but people who also manifest kinds of values, an appreciation for collective action, for instance, an unselfishness, and a vision even that's different and better than what exists now. So those are the kind of people that I think of as vanguard and that I think he's talking about.
Yeah, I think that's right, too. And I think it goes back to the original thrust of the piece, which is that it's a process, right? And it is an experiment in creating a society democratically that facilitates that type of development. And yeah, naturally, some people are going to be a little bit more far along than others. But it's still a process that involves everybody.
That's a very good point, actually. And it's an additional point to what we've been saying. His emphasis is on an ongoing process. There's no sense that you have a revolution and it's a few days, the barricade, or a year or 2 years, and then the revolution somehow is over. For Che and for the Cubans, for that matter, the whole notion of revolution is ongoing. The revolution is a capital R and continues in the process of transforming people and creating this new person that he aims at is ongoing. And the question for us is both what all goes into that and how in our own practice we can promote that.
Yeah, it's a great question because I think as socialists, we often misrepresent socialism by giving this impression that it's when the government does stuff for you. But, you know, we also have to understand that building a social welfare state, what socialism has to offer is just simply building a social welfare state is, you know, a tactical decision as well. So, you know, when you're talking to working class people, they're probably not going to be particularly interested in hearing about how amazing art is going to be once we're no longer alienated from our labor, right? I think they're, I might be more focused a little bit more on the $20,000 they're paying a year in healthcare, in childcare, I'm sorry, or healthcare for that matter. You know, taking that type of path with when we're talking about socialism with working class people, it has benefits and it has limitations. Certainly, it internally, right? We're part of organizations made up of community organizer, but organizers in the socialist tradition, it hampers our ability to have these discussions internally because then we're turning inward this idea that. That, yeah, socialism is just when the government provides for you.
Or of course, just when material conditions change, that is, when people do have health care, when they do have adequate food, etc., that automatically brings a change in consciousness. For the longest time within Marxism and Marxist tradition, there was that sense that the underlying economy would bring about an automatic change in what was called the superstructure, people's ideas. And we know that that's not true, that as we bring about those changes in the material conditions in people's lives, that there requires a conscious effort as well to affect people's, again, sense of their own capabilities to participate in shaping the society, in developing new skills. Che even talks, doesn't he, about the transition to capitalism and how it was not only a forced transition from feudalism, from traditional values, but that there were intentional efforts to change people's values and their sense of hierarchy, for instance, and the way that theology functioned or the way that the press functioned at that time. I take it that the lesson there also is that we need to engage in a conscious process as we work with people in struggles now about the conditions of their lives. We need to engage in a conscious process to change values. and to change senses of capability, etc.
Absolutely. I mean, he had the clarity of mind to scrutinize what he calls the dull instruments of capital. And one way he does this is by emphasizing technology. And this is, of course, borrowed from Soviet thinking. You know, emphasizing technology both as a way of participating in global commerce and providing education both formally and informally to the population of Cuba. So I think most obvious example is, the Cuban medical system, the fact that Cuba has three times as many doctors per person as the United States does. Now, that's one way of educating the population. But then, you know, that kind of investment in healthcare and the healthcare system led to medical tourism that supports the island to this day. I think it's something like 13% of GDP. And yeah, I mean, part of it is this, included in the discussion is how institutions can be transformational. Talks about the education system as well.
Good. Then a last quick question, and that's in your own organizing activities, in your activism, what do you find useful from what Che had to say?
I think taking it back to this question of, well, this emphasis on the transition, right? In that, not to get too high-minded about it, but socialism is a spiritual process, right? As an individual, how it transforms, ideally transforming people's values when they're no longer kind of spending their days and nights just trying to survive.
And any particular insights, or maybe let me say a couple of things then about what can happen within struggles when our objective is much more than and goes beyond the changing in immediate conditions. And that's, among other things, a need for an explanation on the part of these advanced workers, these people we're talking about as vanguard, these people who are partway toward the new person that Che is talking about. That's a need to constantly point out that the grievances we have within this society can't be resolved simply by improving to some small extent people's material conditions, that all the kinds of grievances, all the problems that we see from racism and sexism on to poverty and the various inequities are all linked to the kind of society that we have, and that what we need to be aiming at beyond the immediate victories is transforming that entire apparatus, this entire way of organizing a society. And so the constant explanation as well, not that we're working just on the immediate objectives, but that there's something bigger at stake too, as well demonstrating some of those possibilities for new values, etc., in our own lives, that that's part of what he means by vanguard. And maybe leave it at there. We've been talking about, Luisa Martinez and I, we've been talking about Che Guevara's Socialism and Man in Cuba. Luisa, thank you.